it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
11 o'clock hour, Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3. The game, we're live at Centennial Sportsplex for Nashville Predators training camp. Got some fans in the house as well. We hope to talk to some players, maybe some coaches. We just saw Coach Pex. He walked by, said hello, so good to see him. But one of the groups just got off the ice, another one about to come on the ice, so we'll have more of that flavor. But we were just talking about third and one for the Titans and what I would have done. What would offensive coordinator Chase do in that sense? And I had mentioned that I like play action, and I think the Titans run the play action very, very well. Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill. It's something that Tannehill's been good at in his career. So during
and they have missed several key third and – not necessarily just third and one, but third and one, third and two. They've missed a lot of third and short so far.
To me, I don't have an issue if you call Derrick Henry up the middle because it's worked so many times. Mm-hmm. It didn't in this situation. And so where I think if you're Todd Downing, you could get a little creative. I mean, catch him off guard. And to me – running play action there would catch them off guard because they're expecting the run. Tannehill gets it back and then fires downfield. You could almost get a big play out of a big chunk play. But I designed this once for FRA. It's one for one for a touchdown. This is a true story.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Trips right, zip, 52A fly. That was the call.
Okay, so we got trips right, trips to the right, zip, the outside receiver is motioning in.
Yep.
And what was the rest of the play?
52A fly.
52A fly?
Yep.
So they're faking to the running back, right?
Yep.
And he got a go route by everybody or just the outside guy?
The outside receiver, because the way it was set up, there was actually a lateral in there too. He handed it off.
And lateraled it back.
The quarterback motioned out and got it lateral to him, and then he threw it downfield to the receiver running the go route. And the reason they did it that way is because the corner was on – the corner came in and the safety came in, and so the only guy that the receiver had to beat was a linebacker.
Okay.
So he was wide open. I mean, he was wide open. This was a first play.
Uh-huh.
So I'd try that.
Well, if you try that in the NFL, they know the ball is going down the field. I mean, Chase, I don't know what to tell you.
You're saying no? What's up, Heinz?
That might not work, Chase. Okay. In high school, yes, college even. But in the NFL, I think you got to do some things to set that up first for it to actually work. Because the minute you motion your quarterback out, they know it. They're looking for the pass. They give up some yardage in a run, but they're looking for you to throw it downfield. But – I mean, I'm looking at Ryan Tannehill's his passing chart, at least for the last game, his passing chart against the Vegas Raiders, and you know he's been efficient. I can't say that he's been very efficient, but where he makes the bulk of his hay is you know, middle to the right side of the field. Anything in between 5 and 15 yards is where he makes the bulk of his plays, at least against the Raiders. When he tried to go downfield, he was 50%. He was 1-for-2 on the left side. That was the big play to Woods on a crossing route. So it started off on the right side, but Woods ended up catching it on the left side because of the play action and a deep over. But check this out. This past game, he was 1-for-1. From 1 to 5 yards, and in the middle of the field, and when you're talking 0 to 10, he's basically in the middle of the field. He's 9-for-10. He was 9-for-10. For the right side of the field, he was 4-for-4 with a touchdown and 21 yards. On the left side of the field, he was 1-for-1 for 7. As you get further down the field, middle of the field, he's 2-for-3. Right side of the field, he's 1-for-1. He didn't throw it to the left side of the field. A lot of his passes are to the middle and right side of the field. They're going to have to switch that up because teams are going to start picking up on that, okay? They're going to have to find a way to spread the ball evenly as possible and use the hold field. You know, we talked about UT yesterday. and how UT makes you cover 52 yards wide.
Yes.
With everybody. Well, the Titans, and I'm just looking at this game because, you know, the last two games could have been different. I doubt if they were different because this is what they do. This is their trend. This is how they operate. They're going to have to figure out a way to use all of the field and not just one side because teams are going to pick up on that. And I think the second half, that's why it's so difficult for them to get going because they're only using half of the field. Now, I know they may call plays for the other side, but the bulk of their passes, once teams chart them, the bulk of their passes are going from the middle to the right. They got to change that. You know, they are, in a sense, they're predictable when it comes to that.
I'll tell you what, we're all looking at what's going on in the second half, right? We're breaking down third and one. We're Derek's looking at his numbers there. The other thing that dawned on me as I was watching the game and trying to answer this question, they weren't the Raiders had the ball a lot in the second half. They had a 14-play, 81-yard drive. I mean, that's a long drive. They had, to start the half, a 14-play drive that took 8 minutes off the clock. So they had some long drives. And the Titans had a couple of key things. But it boils down to this. After the half, you love the first half that Derrick Henry had. You're like, oh, I see some encouraging things. He had a 24-yard run. He had some catches. They got him loose there. And you're thinking, boy, this is a Derrick Henry game. And even in the first game against the Raiders, against the Giants, I thought, okay, Derrick Henry's got the table-setting numbers. But now it's time to just knock down the trees in the forest like he has so many times before in the fourth quarter. But the second half running numbers for Derrick Henry have been brutal, right? I bet you if you split it, I haven't done it, split the first half yards to the second half yards. I think that is maybe the biggest thing. I would boil it down. If I could fix one thing, the runs in the second half are not setting them up at all. They've had some real hard times trying to run the ball at all, particularly in the second half.
I feel like the second half, too, would be a time where you'd see more Hilliard. You could see more Haskins and, you know, work them in plan.
But haven't we seen, like, the formula over the years has been Derrick Henry in the fourth. Right. He's gonna wear him down. And then that big run's going to happen. So if you do that, what you're saying, like, I wonder if they're struggling with that.
Yeah.
And saying, look, when we've had Hilliard on the field, good things have happened. We've thrown it to him five times. He's had a huge play every time that they've thrown it to him. Maybe Haskins, the fresh legs. I mean, these are all questions that you got to internally really look at. And so sometimes you do have to evolve. But right now, the runs to Derrick Henry in the second half have been completely ineffective.
Sure.
Completely ineffective.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, he looked really good in the first half. He had a little bit of that burst again. He was finding the holes. So I think it's definitely something that the Titans are going to need to pay attention to as they go along. The Predators are about to get back out on the ice, and we hope to have a guest a little later in the show. We'll discuss kind of what the plan is for tomorrow and Friday for this team, as they'll have back-to-backs at Bridgestone Arena against the Tampa Bay Lightning in the preseason before they head to Europe. We'll do that coming up next on Chase William D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. But first, Derek, you have a word on BetUS.
Yes, I do, and we're getting closer and closer to actual games happening this week with Thursday Night Football starting. I don't think there are any college games tonight, but there is Thursday Night Football tomorrow. So if you want to get your bets in, you know what to do. Go to BetUS.com, which is back for its 28th year of NFL action with the industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%. BetUS offers their members the opportunity to cash in on all your favorite leagues, including MLB, NBA, NFL, and more. With that Mets and Braves series coming up this weekend, you better get your bets in. They've also got hundreds of new casino games, including the coolest European slots, and their live dealers are there waiting for you at the tables. You need a sport book with integrity and longevity. You need to know that you will be getting paid. You need a sport book that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horse racing, esports, and all kinds of crazy bets. Call today at 1-800-79-BETUS. That's 1-800-79-BETUS. BetUS, and they will walk you through setting up your account. Nobody, and I repeat, nobody in the industry gives better bonuses than BetUS. Join now. Mention 102.5, yes, the best radio show in town, and you can get up to 200% in bonuses on your first deposit. So, listen, nobody beats that. So head on over to BetUS.com and join today. That's BetUS, where the games begin.
We're back here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mates. 102.5 The Game at Predators Training Camp at Centennial Sportsplex. We've got the Predators taking the ice right now. They're going to work on special teams for the first time, really, in training camp in detail. That's going to be the order of the day. And they've got the full squad out there, and there's still, you know, over 50 guys in the camp. So this should be pretty interesting. And then when it's over, we'll get a chance to talk to one or two of the guys as we progress. So looking ahead, there's one story to keep your eye on with the weather. I know it's messing with a lot of college football games right now, as Derek was just talking about in his last commercial. The other thing that you have to keep an eye on is the Mets-Braves series. There's a lot of talk of what to do about the games that are scheduled in Atlanta. Right now, the two teams are in a dead heat for the National League East. They've got one more game to play tonight. The Mets lost last night to the Marlins. The Braves took care of the lowly Nationals to pull even with the Mets. So there's going to be tons on the line for that series. But with Hurricane Ian getting worse by the minute, it seems like, everybody's trying to look ahead the next few days and figure out, from a baseball standpoint, what to do. Can you play the games in Atlanta? And how long would you have to wait before you're ready to play? There's a lot of people that thought you should go ahead and play a game tomorrow before that weather gets up there. First and foremost, the priority is the people down in Florida that are going to get hit with this. Uh-huh. And boy, I know a lot of people down there, having grown up in Orlando, and I know a lot of people that are in the Tampa area now. Whew, it looks very scary right now. But from a competitive standpoint, too, would you think about moving the games to a neutral site? And that changes everything, right? The Braves have been looking forward to this for weeks, having the Mets come in to their home park and having to beat them to win the division. Boy, all of a sudden you've got a really tough decision to make there. I wonder, like, if you're the commissioner of baseball, what do you do? Would you rather push the games back or play them on time but play them in a neutral site? That's kind of a tough call.
Yeah, it is, you know, because you always want to, you know, err on the side of safety. But you never know, you know, the storm might come and then all of a sudden it might change directions and you don't get the weather as bad as what you thought you were going to get it. And then you find out, well, maybe we could have played a day before or whatnot. But first and foremost, the safety is of, you know, the people in that area, the players, and trying to find a way to, if you can't get the games played the day before, then when do we play them? You know, the Gators moved their game to Sunday. So they're going to play Sunday. I know that would be different from them because they're usually off on Sunday after their game. They're usually watching film or watching NFL games themselves. So it's going to be kind of weird, you know, one, possibly not having a bunch of people in the stadium because it's Sunday. And then, two, just playing on a day you normally don't play on. And I wonder if, you know, other teams, you know, are going to, you know, you talked about the Braves. Should the Braves and the Mets play before the storm hit, you know, or will they have to play? Can they play during? Because it's not that bad in that area in Atlanta. Or do they play days after?
You can't. That's the thing about baseball. There's a couple things. The number one thing to me about the timing of the game, Chase, I don't know if you've seen some of the speculation that's happening now, is that Mets-Braves series, the rain from Hurricane Ian could affect that big time. And the pitching rotation, of course, you know, because it's one thing to move a football game. You just play it a different game, different day. It's the same for both teams. But when it messes with your pitching rotation, that really is something that will change, could really change the course of what the series will look like. If you're playing on a different day with different rest for your pitchers and everything like that, or even moving to a neutral site, that that's a totally different thing. For they're certainly not going to move the games to New York. But if you moved it to a neutral site where there's basically no crowd.
I don't think the Braves would go for that.
I don't think so either.
They shouldn't go for that.
But if you move it back, that really messes with your pitching for the playoffs. Both teams are going to be in the playoffs. The losing team has got to start a playoff series, I think, the next day if they have to move it back as far as they think they might have to.
Right. Look, there's a lot. But, I mean, would you rather sacrifice the pitching rotation or having to go to a neutral site and losing that home field advantage? Because here's the thing. For the Braves, this is huge that they're at this point, they're tied for the top of the division, and they know that this series is going to be at home.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it gives them the edge.
How long have we been talking about that series, right? For over a month. We've known it's going to come down to
I'm sad you're leaving Friday because it would have been fun to go down Saturday.
And I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to be in Switzerland while this is going on, and I got to figure out how to watch these games. I'm going to have to get up at, like, 3 in the morning.
Is your phone going to be operational that when the Braves sweep the Mets, I can text you and say, ha-ha?
I think so. I don't know. I'm going to pretend that it's not. Like, I'll just ignore your text and just tell you that my phone didn't work if that happens. I'm also wondering if my phone or computer, like, I can pull up my MLB extra innings, you know, MLB TV. I hope that works in Switzerland.
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know.
These are all good questions that I got to figure out.
Do we think Roman Yossi would know the answer to these questions?
That is on my list of things to ask Roman. Like, is my phone going to work? Is MLB TV going to work?
You got to bring a universal adapter?
I had to do that in Ireland. Uh-huh. I was wondering this morning if I still had it. My brother-in-law hooked me up because I had no idea. I went to plug in my computer.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I can't. And they're like, I told you in the email, my brother-in-law,
Universal
I told
remote,
you in the email,
mean,
you needed
charger.
The adapter.
Yeah,
you
adapter.
Did I listen? Did I look at the email? No.
Nope, he
so
did.
I was that guy. And he's like, don't worry, I got an extra one for you. I knew you were going to be that guy.
Get a
but
fire
that's
stick.
What you were expecting.
What'd you say, Nick?
Get a fire stick.
Yeah.
I got no fire stick. I got no adapter. What am I going to do?
Willie, seriously, like... I'm gonna peel back the curtain. So I was in a meeting this morning, a sales meeting, and your name was brought up because we were talking about like production and things like that. and I said, I usually do my own. Willie can't. I have to help him with Twitter. and he doesn't have a fire stick. It's okay.
It's okay.
You know your strengths. Mm-hmm. You know your weaknesses.
Yes, I am a. I don't know if I get a. I think I get a passing grade, but it's not much higher than a C minus. Like if it was pass fail, I might get the pass on being my tech level.
Uh-huh.
Like
Derek,
like I don't get an F, but I definitely don't get anything higher than a C minus.
Yeah,
like
Derek is pretty tech savvy.
Yeah. Oh, no question.
I try to be.
Derek comes in with all these gadgets. Yeah. He's got a light.
The ring
he's
light.
Got the, yeah. He's got his phone.
Because I've learned from my kids, man.
Yeah. That's
what
I have.
My
done.
Daughter loves doing that stuff. Her being in fashion, so she's always doing all this, you know, things with lighting and you know everything else in regards to fashion. So I picked up on it somewhat. You know, I watch and I observe her doing things every once in a while. I'm like, yeah, I need that. I need that ring light. I need this, you know. So.
Yeah, I need to.
I'm just trying to make us better as a group. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you do.
Thank you.
You make us
thank
better.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Chase.
Be sure to join Max. Thank you. Join Max Herz, Pete Weber, and Hal Gill tonight for the Nashville Predators season preview show from 6 to 8 on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. They'll be joined by Predators head coach John Hines at the top of the show at 6, general manager David Boyle at 6:30, and they will preview this upcoming season. So be sure to tune in to that. We will talk a little Preds because I'm going to ask you guys this question coming up next of the young guys that are in a roster battle, who needs to show us the most before they head to Europe? We will discuss that coming up next, but I'll ask this. Can you beat Vegas this football season? Superbook Sports is going to give you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas. Go download that app. I love it. Just search Superbook Sports. It's here in Tennessee now. I've been a big winner the last couple of weeks on Superbook Sports. My picks are not translating on the air, but that's okay. I'm still making money. That is fine. There's no fancy computer algorithms.
We need to talk about that. But okay, all right. I'm going to go with it, though. I'll take your word for it.
No fancy computer algorithms. No guys across the pond setting lines for American sports. It's just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter at the Superbook in Las Vegas, which is awesome. This is what I love about Superbook Sports because it's authentic. It's just like Vegas is in the palm of my hands. Like tomorrow night, the Miami Dolphins, who just beat the Bills, +4 against the Bengals on Thursday Night Football. I like Tua and the Fins on that. Plus, Superbook features some of the best odds, boosts, and promo bets anywhere. So download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com and start your battle against Vegas right now. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Tune into the College Football Game of the Week on 102.5, 106.3 The Game this Saturday. Need to look that up. College Football Game of the Week.
What's going on?
I think we have the wrong game.
We have a signal. He signaled to himself. I could see the brain suit brainwaves threw up a red flag.
I think.
Am I right?
Yeah, I'm making sure.
There was pause.
Yes. Okay, no, we do have the right. Okay, we're good. Okay, I faked myself out. Let's start it again. Tune into the College Football Game of the Week on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. This Saturday is Alabama takes on Arkansas at 2:30. College Football Game of the Week is brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of the 29-degree draft in wall-to-wall sports, and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Love the Superbook Sports.
There you go.
All right, so Willie, I'll let you kind of lead this, obviously, but the depth chart for the Predators, and the reason I bring this up is some guys that are fighting for either a roster spot altogether or significant playing time that we want to see something out of both tomorrow and Friday night before the team heads to Europe. How would you go about answering that?
It's a really good question. Because number one, I would start that answer by telling you that I think Carl Taylor has got to be watching this group at training camp, and I think he's really going to like what ends up coming to him. I think Milwaukee is going to be a really good team. There's some new guys that the Predators have brought in that are veterans, and some new guys coming up through the system that are going to play in Milwaukee that I think will make for a pretty good team. I'd be curious to know what some people thought up there who really follow Milwaukee, like Aaron Sims, their radio voice, who is going to watch this really closely. But
I'll say this, too, real quick about Carl Taylor. I'm very surprised that we got to training camp this year and he's still here. I think he is very, very close to getting an NHL job, and he deserves it because he has done a tremendous job with the Milwaukee Admirals. So I pull for him. I really like his style. He's been a fun interview, so – He's very, very close to being an NHL head coach.
I'm with you. I'm with you big time. I think he's going to make it. All right, so let's look at some key spots. Let's look at the forwards first.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it looks like they want to try Ryan Johansson with Niederreiter and Phil Tomasino. We talked about that last
time. I like that line.
That's what it looks like they want to try to start with. Now, that doesn't mean they couldn't change over the next couple of games. There's two more big preseason games coming up against Tampa before the team leaves for Switzerland. And when they leave for Switzerland, they're going to pare down this group a lot, right? They're going to bring 27, I think. And so that's when you'll really see, who's on the radar. But if I had to predict, let's say they want to try that to start the season. That means it'll be Mikael Granlund centering the first line with Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene. So do we agree that that's probably what it looks
like? I think the top two lines, top six, I'm pretty much set with.
And the top nine, really, because it looks like the herd has been together at every practice, every scrimmage, and in the preseason game the other night they had a very good game. They were very, very strong. So it looks like they're keeping that group together until further notice.
It's really the fourth line.
The fourth line is where the decisions have to be made. We had a huge discussion yesterday about where does Cody Glass fit. He looks like an NHL player. He looks like he's made big strides. John Hines, I've seen some comments from him that definitely signal that Cody Glass looks like a different player than he did last year. Remember, he did make the team out of last year. So he's made big strides. Carl Taylor has a lot to do with that. So I think he is going to make the roster. The question is, okay, is he your fourth line center? Let's put him there for right now. Fourth line center is Cody Glass. So then you have Eli Tolvanen in the picture somewhere. I think he's a guy that's got to push it. He's got time ticking. He's getting a little bit older. He's got to make a move. But you got to have him in there. Like, he could be a healthy scratch if you want. If you want to put size on that line, like, what do you want to do with that line? Cody Glass is a big guy, but he's also a skilled guy.
Sure.
So you could. What do you want from that line? Do you want size, sandpaper, edginess, or do you want skill?
Because that's the thing with guys like Tolvanen and Glass. You're kind of losing the purpose of what the fourth line usually is.
The fourth line you hope doesn't have to play that much, right? You only need you could use a specialist there, a guy that's going to be on your power play.
Yep.
You could be a line that's going to, when they come out there, the other team's got to go, man, there's actually some skill on this line. I got to make sure. Or, here comes the fourth line. Man, they are big, tough, and you got to have your head on a swivel.
Yeah.
Or else. You know?
The game's changed from guys like Darcy Hordichuk or Stu Grimson and, you know, the 2-2 to an extent, Jordan 2-2 of that. But I still think that your fourth line is supposed to kind of be your, you know, don't mess with us.
Yeah.
Like, you got to have your grunt line.
But
yeah.
And also, can they give you a penalty kill? Right?
Yeah.
Can somebody? So, who's in that equation? Let's put Glass in the center position.
Yep.
Let's put Tolvanen in the discussion. Michael McCarron's got to be in the discussion because he can play center or wing.
Yep.
I like McCarron can win a faceoff for you. He obviously brings the big, strong, tough presence. He can penalty kill reasonably well.
Sure.
That's a tool. He helps on special teams. How often do we hear it in the Titans discussion? Does he help me on special teams?
Yep.
Cody Glass and Eli Tolvanen are potential power play guys, right?
I'd put Zach Sanford in that.
Zach Sanford is absolutely in there. And he's got a one-way contract,
which gives him the inside track. I think he's a lock to me.
Now, I have not seen a moment in training camp thus far where he's made a couple of big plays. Of course, what do I know? I'm not looking for the same things the coaches are looking for. But I'm not seeing a huge standout in Zach Sanford. So they could, if they don't like what they see, they could waive him and see if somebody picks up his contract. They could try that. Or they could play him in Milwaukee, but they're paying him an NHL salary in Milwaukee, but they're not paying him much. It's less than $1 million.
I think they're going to try.
He's a veteran. He's probably going to start the year on the roster. So that gives you the one extra forward.
Uh-huh.
So who else is in there?
Afanasyev.
He can be sent to Milwaukee.
Parsonen
is absolutely in there. He's probably the hardest guy that they're going to have there, because I think they really would like to have him on the team.
Yeah.
But how many extra? You could keep two extra forwards and one extra defenseman when you have to get down to 23.
Right.
So is he the extra guy?
What about Tommy Novak? Somebody we saw
Tommy
last
Novak
year.
Is another guy that he's been very, very good in Milwaukee. He's had some experience in the first half of the year last year. He had some success. He's a very good passer. That's what Tommy Novak can do. He's a good passer. But in my mind, he's not. If you're going to have Cody Glass, that probably
makes
Novak the odd man out. I think he probably
But he's one of your first call-ups if you need it.
He is definitely a guy that you are comfortable with. He's been there. He's played some games. So you like that.
My guy, John Leonard.
John Leonard and all those guys are good depth pieces.
Yeah.
Jankowski, I thought, was good. Kiefer Sherwood is good. Those guys, I think, are all going to be in Milwaukee there. And then there's a young guy like Evangelista, who I think has got a bright future, but we're going to see what he's got in Milwaukee. So if I'm going to make a prediction, I think they're going to keep the fourth line, in my mind, to start is going to be McCarron, Glass, Tolvanen, with Sanford as the extra guy.
Yep.
And then if they keep one more forward, to me, Parsonen would be that guy. That would be how I see it right now.
I think right now that's probably spot on.
Okay.
What would be your what would you be surprised by? What player would you be surprised by that either
didn't make
that fourth line or did make that fourth line? Or a guy that would shock you that went up a line?
I think the guy that really has it on the line right now is I would have to say that the talk of the camp really going back ways is the rise of Parsonen. Yeah. I think they really do like what they're seeing from him. He's big, 6'3". He's 212 pounds. He's, you know, he's still a young guy, but he's got that strength, and he's had a little bit. He scored a goal on Sergei Bobrovsky the other day. So he's got a little bit of scoring touch. I think they're really intrigued with him. I think they think he can handle the two-way game, the battles on the board, the size that they want to play.
He's out there
with.
Right now.
Yeah.
He and Burrow.
So to me, that's the guy that will be a very tough decision on where to keep. So part of the equation is, just like we do with the Titans roster, do I keep an extra defenseman? I have to let a guy go on the forwards, or do I keep an extra forward and keep one less defenseman? So you got room for three.
So
I think we know the goalies are going to be Saros and Lankinen, right? Unless there's an injury there. I think we know pretty well the top six in the D, right?
So Josi, Ekholm, McDonough.
Well, let's say Josi and Carrier. Because the Ekholm McDonough pair looks like a good. They're going with it a lot. We're seeing it a lot. It looks good.
Lezon and Fabro.
Let's go Lezon and Fabro. I think that looks pretty clear cut, barring they make a move there. But I think right now that's a pretty solid pair. I like that pair. I think that's a really good third pair.
I do too. Burrow's your seven.
Mark Borowiecki looked awesome in the preseason game. He was hitting everybody.
I know.
In the Panthers lineup, he was really good. So. That's what I'm talking about with that sandpaper. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What do you want in your lineup? The lineup takes on a new look. If you have Borowiecki and McCarron in there, that team is going to be looking at going, man, we better be ready for a physical battle. They're going to be all over us.
But then that raises the question, if you do make that change, okay, are you taking Lezon out or are you taking Fabro out? Because that's not an easy decision to make.
No, it's not. And I think – the other thing to keep in mind is Borowiecki at this stage of his career, the way he plays, I think you'd like to have a cushion for him. I'm not saying game, you know, what do they call it, load management.
Yeah.
But for him, at this stage of his career, I think 50 to 60 games might be right for him. You know, give his body some time to heal sometimes. I think that would be a nice way to look at it. So then the next question is, okay, so that's seven. I'd be comfortable keeping seven.
I would too.
And then that allows you to keep Parsonen as the extra forward, the second extra forward.
And then
when you get down to it,
do you kind of look at Gravel as the eighth, whether he's up or down?
I think there's good competition for the eighth. What type of defenseman would I need? That's the first question. If I want just a steady, stay-at-home guy who's a penalty killer, who's got size. Gravel is probably that guy, 6'4". If I want a skilled guy who could run a power play, if I need that element, then Jordan Gross is probably that guy. He has put up a lot of points in the AHL the last couple of years. He's run power plays there. He ran the second power play the other night in the game he was in. I thought looked pretty good in that role. So that's how I would look at it right now. Those are probably defensemen 8 and 9. In some order there, depending on what type of defenseman that you're looking for. The other guys like Delgazzo and Stastny, Prokop, Willsby, those guys are all, I think, still need some seasoning in Milwaukee before they're ready.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's like this organization for so long was known for being a defense factory, and now I would kind of lean towards the forwards being a little stronger top to bottom in the organization.
When you start listening to prospects, I think there's probably more forwards, and obviously Askarov is their number one prospect for sure. The one guy we didn't mention on deep, Roland McCown, he had a goal the other night.
Yeah,
he's another guy that could figure in as a depth guy. So that's what you want.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll continue the Predators conversation as we're live at Centennial Sportsplex for Predators training camp. But first, Willie's going to tell us about QC Kinetics.
All right, let's talk QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics is here, and they have tripled in size. And that is good news for you, depending on when you're listening. I know we got a lot of people that listen to us over in Clarksville. They now have a facility in your listening area. So that is great news for you. Those down in the borough, they've got QC Kinetics down that way as well. Plus, of course, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, in the heart of our listening area. And they are bringing to you the cutting-edge technology the regenerative medicine treatments that have been available to the world-class athletes for a long time, now they're available to you. Pro athletes have been doing this for years. Now it's available to you out there, and the consultation is absolutely free. Appointments are available as soon as next week. So call QC Kinetics. If you've had that joint pain that you can't shake and the traditional methods haven't really gotten the job done for you, look into QC Kinetics because they have the natural biologics, the healing agents from your own body that restore and repair that damaged joint tissue. 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for that free consultation. Nashville, Clarksville, Murfreesboro for QC Kinetics.
Chase William, D. Mace, 1025-1063. The game. We're live at Centennial Sportsplex. Join Big Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell this Friday for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, presented by National Playmakers Academy from 6 to midnight. We'll preview the big games and then take you through a night of high school football around the mid-state. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, presented by National Playmakers Academy on 1025-1063, The Game. A fantastic show that will actually air after the Nashville Predators and Tampa Bay Lightning. So it'll be a condensed version this week. So starting around probably 8:30-ish here on these airwaves. So, Willie, we were just standing there watching the power play.
Yeah.
Go out there, got a 2-on-1 on UC Saros and put it behind it.
Yeah, they had a it's actually a fun group to watch right now. They're actually just flowing some different units, but the one we saw was the top unit from last year that was really effective all year long, Johansson, Duchesne, Forsberg, Granlund, and Josi, going up against some of the top penalty killers. It was Sissons, Trennan, and actually there was a couple of the younger defensemen that were out there, and they broke in on a 2-on-1 and scored one on UC Saros there. So that was some good action.
You know what? That's because we've talked about this before with the Titans, and, you know, when you get in training camp or mini camp and you see a particular player or a particular side of the ball, they're doing very well. And you always ask yourself, well, man, is that actually the player that has gotten better, or has, say, a wide receiver?
Yeah.
Did the wide receiver get better, or is the secondary really not that good?
Yeah.
You really don't know
right
until you actually get in games. Well, in this situation, you know that the penalty killers, you know, our power play is good and our goalie is good. So you never wonder, man, well, they got one on UC. Is the power play that good, or is UC, is he not on his game today? Well, we know that's not true.
Yeah.
You know, UC is one of the best in the NHL, and the power play is one of the best in the NHL.
Well,
so you got a good unit going up against a really good goalie.
I'll put it to you like this, because you can answer this now that you're retired. But how many days at practice, especially when you were in training camp, did you go, might go 60% today, like in your head of that? And I'm not saying he's doing that, but like, it's a long season. You got to preserve yourself. You're not going to go, you know, every practice like it's a Super Bowl. So, I mean, I think there's some of that too, that, you know, you got guys, you got plays that he's going to make in a game that he may not make in a scrimmage. Right.
Exactly.
Now, you know?
Well, I mean, a lot of it has to do with, you know, maybe you want to work on a particular theme today.
Right.
And,
so, you know, you're focused on
exactly
that.
You're focused on that one particular theme today, not necessarily on the whole.
Sure.
So you may let a puck get by you, or you may let, you know, a defensive back, not that you're letting them, but you're working, you're so tuned in on working on this one thing that they may get the best of you on something else.
Yeah.
And that's just finding out your weaknesses, trying to work on those weaknesses when you can. And it's the only time that they can work on their weaknesses.
Right.
Is during these moments. Because once you're in a game, you can't, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Willie, we you know, you were just talking about, we saw the first power play unit and how effective that's been. But I am curious of what they come up with the second unit.
Yes.
Because it felt like at times last year that the second power play unit was just really, it was there just to be there, because the first unit was so good.
That's what most teams do now. They for a long time, and when Peter Laviolette was the coach,
he had two.
He had one and 1A.
Yeah.
He would make a point to say, I don't have a number one power play. Yep. I have two units that are interchangeable, and obviously that team was at its best was a very deep team where he had enough weapons on both that it was pretty balanced. But most teams don't do that, and the Predators don't now. Under John Hines, they've loaded up the first five.
Yep.
And that is their – and they are going to play probably two-thirds to three-quarters of a particular power play, unless that group was right on the ice right before. So over the course of the season, those guys are going to get – it's going to sink or swim on those five guys. Johansson, Granlund, Duchesne, yep. Forsberg, and Josi, right? And they were so awesome last year. It was a huge breakthrough for the team because that had been a struggling unit for a while. The penalty kill is a little bit more of the question mark. They've got to make sure that that gets nailed down this year. But as far as the second power play, I think Glass is a key guy in there. I think Glass could run a pretty good power play. You've got the other choice is what do? Do you put two defensemen on the second power play? Do you go with Ekholm and Carrier in there? I think that's what it looks like on paper.
I mean, Niederreiter should be out there.
That's where Tolvanen is big. Niederreiter could be an outstanding net front presence on the second power play. So I think there's a chance.
Tomasino
is absolutely a guy that played a lot last year on the second power play. So Trennan's another guy that has pushed. Tanner Jeannot hardly played much on the power play, but he's a guy that's got some power play skills. So that is something I think that there's competition for, getting on that second power play.
Well, because even though like the first unit's so effective, I do think you need that second one to do something, too, more than you saw last year.
Tolvanen has got the best shot on paper, but this is another thing that we're seeing in camp. I haven't seen that confidence when he goes to rip the shot that I saw for that stretch 2 years ago when he really started to take form. Remember in the shortened season when they were sort of down and out, what helped them get going? He got hot on that power play, and nobody can shoot like him other than a guy like Forsberg. But he's got to earn that, right? And if he's not doing it, who are the other guys that could go in there? But Niederreiter's an interesting one because you've seen it in the preseason games and in the scrimmages. He's got a great feel for the net front.
Oh, yeah, and which is why I love that signing so much. We'll hope to catch up with a player here in just a little bit, but coming up next, we'll talk to Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360. Screwball peanut butter whiskey, you guys know I love it. When I'm out and about with my friends, I prefer a shot. Chilled, but you can have it on the rocks. You can have it as a peanut butter old fashioned, an espresso martini, a PB&J shot with a berry liqueur. That's what Derek likes. Just go to screwballwhiskey.com for more recipes. The reason that I love Screwball so much is how smooth it is when it goes down. It doesn't burn. You know, I'm not a big traditional shot guy, but I love Screwball peanut butter whiskey. It's made with real peanuts, real peanut butter, and real whiskey, and it's the most awarded peanut butter whiskey in the world because it's an original, just like me, just like the suit, made with natural flavor. So when you're out and about with your friends and you're looking for a great drink, just order a Screwball peanut butter whiskey, just like me. Also, do like me, enjoy responsibly. Copyright 2022 Screwball Spirits LLC, San Diego, California. Whiskey with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.